Blog Talk Radio.
Into Conversations with the Queen, where we value a conscious and holistic approach to life and self-improvement. We often focus on psychological, spiritual, and emotional balance, but we discuss any and everything that pertains to bettering ourselves. So on today's show, we will be discussing Responsibility Through Self-Defense, the Trayvon Martin case featuring Adisa L. But before we get into that, I would like to invite you to visit conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com, where you can catch exclusive articles and information that pertain to the show. Also, don't forget that if you miss the show, you can always check us out here on blogtalkradio.com/109-9PennStation. Please check our fan page on Facebook out, which is facebook.com/conversationswiththequeen. Our daily affirmation for the day, well, the week, goes a little something like this. I am completely and 100% at my optimal performance. I am achieving great success in all areas of my life. I am focused and balanced and achieve prosperity through discipline, hard work, and perseverance. I am divinely guided in all things that I do. Ashe. And you can check out affirmations like that one and so many more on conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com as well as facebook.com/conversationswiththequeen. All right. The monthly yoga pose for the month of July is Mariachi Asana, and the benefits of this pose is that it calms the brain, stretches the spine and shoulders, stimulates the abdominal organs like the liver and kidneys, and it also improves digestion. So you can check that out again on conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com, and we have all the information on how to get into the pose and what it's good for on the blog site. All right, y'all, without further ado, I'm going to bring on our guest for the night, Adisa L. Are you on the line?
Peace. What's up, sis?
Peace. I'm great.
All right.
How are you?
You can hear me, right?
Yeah, we can all hear you.
All right, cool. I'm well. Thank you very much. How are you doing?
I'm awesome.
As usual, yes.
Yes, yes.
And what's up to everyone out there as well? And I wish everyone out there listening and that will be listening, I wish everyone wellness as well.
Of course. So tell the audience a bit about yourself and what you do.
All right. My name is Adisa L. I'm a martial artist and I formed a rites of passage program, and I say formed because it's evolved into something really amazing that I look forward to filling you in a little bit more about as the show goes on. It's a rites of passage program centered and based in martial arts, and mm-hmm. It's then universal martial arts, African martial arts, Chinese martial arts, Brazilian martial arts. Just the whole concept of martial arts and self-defense as a medium, as a vehicle to address every other aspect of life. And it just mm-hmm. gives the students or the clients an opportunity to gain support along their journey. So that's what I do amongst mm-hmm. a lot of other things that are relative. So it goes into healing, Reiki, naturopath, holistic health healing. And what we do is we utilize all these skills and skills of people that have been coming on board and have become mm-hmm. teachers, mentors, and instructors themselves. And what they do, they bring their skills to the table. So, I mean, we got like fitness, health and fitness department developed so far. We've got event planners so far. So it's just kind of taking things to a new level, and things are so very new, so, the level of things have changed, so it's kind of just overwhelming sometimes to just sit back and think, wow, things have actually grew. And mm-hmm. so, other than that, that's the main focus in what I'm dealing with. I myself am a martial artist, and I am a competitor myself, so basically just training every day, and likewise continuing the training with my students and just giving them the best opportunity that possible for them and dealing with issues like the one we're about to go into today. So I guess by the end of the show will be a good example to see exactly what kind of things is being done at Courage Rites of Passage and the type of topics and issues and the training that we're actually going through.
Of course. All right. So what is self-defense?
All right. Mm-hmm. Defense in itself, let's start with that. Of course, the obvious that everybody knows, basic defense as in stepping in and protecting something, but it gets it gets very much deeper than that. It's actually a holistic concept that defense can be relative to preservation, can be relative to one of the most important aspects of defense is the healing. Or in other words, it is one and the same thing. So you'll notice that if you ever develop a cold, or what they say, catch a cold, it is your responsibility to act on your responsibility to allow your body's defense mechanism. So you could use it. You can use the term defense, or you can use the term as healing. It's part of the natural process of life that gets neglected a lot, because it can be related to violence at times, because people have a limited understanding of what defense is. Now, when you apply defense to the self-defense, it's this one and the same thing. It just gets really, really detailed. So since we are multiples of cells, and then all of us together are multiples together that create the human race, and then the human race comes together and then covets a planet that's part of a whole universe. So, I mean, we're all pieces to the puzzle, and self-defense is the smaller little pieces to the whole concept of defense and healing. And self-defense is the actual practice of you taking it upon yourself to go with the flow of healing as opposed to going against it. I think in our culture, especially our ancient tradition, there's a concept known as effet, relative to disorder and disharmony. So it'd be the opposite of that. So in comedic cosmology or understanding, defense is equated to ma'at. And as you know, ma'at is not easy to define. There's no one word that can define it, because it is that universal spirit, or another word is the usage of that universal energy. You can use it to heal, or you can use it to hurt. But in essence, they are one and the same thing.
Definitely. So how can we utilize self-defense tactics to help the current state of injustice against our youth?
Great question. Because to get into that question, we have to understand that, if I didn't mention already, defense is on many levels. There's obviously the apparent physical self-defense, which we all know. We see all the movies. We see the martial art classes down the street. That's that physical self-defense. Also, along with that, there is spiritual self-defense, mental self-defense, psychological self-defense, and emotional self-defense, which I know you are a defender of, and this show is also a defender of. And how we could utilize the tactics is that practicing one area of self-defense, the word I want to use is it overlaps, or it bleeds, or it mirrors in the other aspects of self-defense, even if you're not consciously aware that you're training them. So, in other words, what happens on the physical level, the same principle applies on the spiritual level and all in between. So, what's happening if somebody is physically attacked means they were already spiritually attacked. And the physical is just the outcome of what has already started. Just like in all dis-ease or disease and healing, the physical part of the disease is the last resort that your spirit is trying to tell you, you got a little issue to deal with, right? So it's the same thing, how we can utilize this. If, I mean, the fighting arts may not be for everybody. But like you said, there is emotional and psychological confrontations going on more so every and all day. But do we put enough attention into that kind of training as you see the martial arts students out there training? I'll answer for everyone, no. So this is what our job is, my job, and others likewise, is we're raising this awareness first and then giving people the understanding of how to formulate a strategy and then carry out the strategy. And just to let you know, these are, which I'll go over a little bit later, are the exact tenets and basic principles of self-defense that you learn physically. But they'll also tell you that this is the same thing when it comes to a verbal confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
You utilize the same principles. So that's a generally speaking, how we can just utilize it in our lives. Also, too, there's a thing in, that we all know. There's a famous movie that came out about Will Smith and his son. And a lot of people gave it a lot of, like, slack because it wasn't the greatest action-packed movie. I agree. However, for a martial artist or for a self-defense practitioner in any area of life, physical, spiritual, all the things you mentioned, that was such a phenomenal concept. Simple, yet the most important and powerful thing that we are dealing with right now at this point in time is dealing with fear and dealing with confidence, or in other words, courage. So the movie just shouted to us, like, we're here, courage students, we're all like, yo, this is courage all day. This is what we talk about and teach. How coincidental the timing. So the issue, I kind of lost what my point was. Oh, yeah, so what we have to do is get, again, these training facilities, these courses, the classes. There are people out there already doing some of this stuff. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, like, I figured out something and I'm on top of the world. I'm not. I'm just, my duty is to make clear of something. My name is Adisa. That's what I do. And to make clear is that we need to focus on ourselves as the response, the ones responsible for any situation that any of us get into. Right? There's a disease out there of the mind that blames and that likes to point the fingers. And it's, people are taught that way of thinking. Religion does a lot of that, amongst all the other types of sciences that are trying to take you off track. But I think what I was trying to get with this point was that we have to take responsibility for the problems that we face. And recently there's been a lot of all this junk stuff that's going on, but for someone like a martial artist or a self-defense practitioner, no matter what the scenario is, it's always the same basic concepts that are happening. And then what happens is like you learn in the art of the fight on how to control your emotions. It doesn't mean you're void of them. It just means you master them. You understand them so much that when something does happen, you are not victim to the puppet masters controlling you by your reaction.
Definitely.
So I'm sure you know this, Taekwima. This is more for the, you know, the audiences, people who don't know, and of course for the archived video. But what we want to do is practice these skills. We can talk about it all day, but I mean actually practicing the skills. Even if you don't, like, for example, we have an actual curriculum that actually deals with verbal self-defense, psychic self-defense, and stuff like that. But even if you don't have access to that stuff, I mean, simple, if you can go to a martial arts school, it doesn't matter which one. I have no ego with that. Just go to one of them and you'll start to, you know, figure out things. Go on YouTube and teach yourself. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care as long as we're practicing. Right, which is the concept of holistic health and all the things that we're doing and that we're getting to as a people. So, yeah, for all those out there, look for also the other teachers out there. We're also teaching self-defense practice, you know, self-defense, how to practice and how to actually apply in verbally. There's a book out there called Psychic Self-Defense that I really, that was pretty interesting too. Now, but I'm trying not to jump into the big topic of today. I'm kind of just waiting for the question to come up. But did you ask?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm just moving through the questions. We do have an hour left on the live stream. The call number is 917-932-8881. You'll be able to call in and call up with your questions and comments pertaining to the subject of the show. And today we're discussing responsibility through self-defense and the Trayvon Martin case featuring Adisa L. So we're speaking live now about this topic of self-defense. Now, to piggyback off of what you were saying, especially in pertinence to the whole concept of self-defense, to me, and from what I gleaned off of what you were saying, is it's a lot of self-cultivation. It's about readiness. It's about cultivating that energy inside of you so that when or if situations do arise, that you have a level of protection ready from within yourself that's already cultivated. And the thing is, again, like you said, a lot of people like to look at the problem or the issue and react emotionally to that. When, if you as a person are disciplined in any aspect of your life, whether it be spirituality, health, whether you practice a martial arts or martial art per se, you already have developed a mindset or a mentality that allows you to focus on solution rather than reaction. And I think that's where a lot of the issues are coming up with the current case that we're talking about, which is the Trayvon Martin case. So that brings us to the next question. I do want to get right into it. So what is your take on the Trayvon Martin trial and that whole issue?
All right, here we go. Okay, first of all, I would like to encourage everyone who, if you have an opinion, whatever, call in for this show, please. Interactive. Voice your opinion. Voice your, if something I said you don't agree with, challenge me on it. Correct me. I don't care. Let's just get to the solution, as Sister was saying. My opinions on the case. Honestly, I gave it no energy for probably the first couple weeks. I'm so serious. When I mean no energy, I saw it from the day. Of course, I do study some aspects of law and stuff like that, so I am understanding a little bit that maybe someone else wouldn't understand. Got a lot of way to go, but it was clear from the jump that it's all a charade. Like many other things that are going down in the news, it doesn't mean that it's not an important thing to talk about, though. So what I'm bringing to the forefront is that I was disgusted, I was saddened, I was understanding at the same time on what was going on, the reaction from our people that was genuine and innocent, which I understand. I mean. Picture it this way. What's going on is, let's say that the whole case of the Zimmerman, they're martial artists, and they're fighting other martial artists. And if you're not a martial artist, you'll understand that you want to defend yourself, but you kind of don't know the moves on what to do. So I'm seeing certain things that are coming out through this case, throughout this case, before the case, and other cases related. Especially dealing with the art or the law or the confrontational awareness, rules of engagement, and in every state they have different names for it, but like citizens arrest, different things like that. You would see that the case, like from the jump, was orchestrated to just cause confusion. I'm first going to talk about the case. it being a legal aspect, I mean, sorry, a legal case, and, you know, everybody's, or people are expecting, you know, Zimmerman to go to jail for what is obvious.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you break down step by step what happened, and I'll go through it with everybody here before this show is over.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to ask you, please hear me out before, you know what I mean, this show is done.
Mm-hmm.
This was a textbook art of self-defense. It's
mm-hmm.
either you know or you don't know. Zimmerman knew, Trayvon Martin didn't. I'm not saying that he carried it out and executed it to this expertise, but I'm telling you, Zimmerman's father's a judge.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did with this case is they understood that there are rules of engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can articulate yourself in self-defense, if you can actually speak and know what happened here, there, and then you responded, you're going to have the upper hand.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why it's very necessary to stay alive after a confrontation. You understand what I'm saying? So,
mm-hmm.
so what's happened in this situation is the call that Zimmerman made, everything that's pissing everybody off was actually the steps that was taken for someone who claims that they were in self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I'm saying. There's a concept that I learned from one of my masters, and I teach it, I talk about it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
When someone has a gun, I think I said it on your show last time I was on, and
mm-hmm.
This is part of my take on the subject.
Mm-hmm.
When someone comes up to you, I mean, I'm from the ghetto, this is regular. We see this
mm-hmm.
all the time. Someone comes up to you, and they pull a gun on you, or pull a gun on someone. If they haven't shot you yet, they don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's this fact. So it's, they don't, or I would say 99.9% of the time, they don't want to because they would have shot you already. There's something
mm-hmm.
within them at that moment that wants to negotiate, or there's some kind of pause for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening at this moment is the person pulls out the gun, pointing it at you. Now you're standing there, and hard to understand at first, but the person that's holding the gun actually becomes the one who's afraid. And then
mm-hmm.
the one holding the gun now is waiting for the reaction of the person standing there, knowing that
mm-hmm.
they've held the gun, so that person is in the right to take them off the planet because they're being threatened. And I'm going to go over those stuff a little bit later. From their being threatened, they know that this person is going to want to kill me because I have a gun pointed at them. So what happens is the person with the gun becomes the one practicing self-defense. And if the person who doesn't have the gun does not know this and does not know that they are in control and have become the attacker,
mm-hmm.
not even knowing. And then so my point is that Zimmerman understood this from the jump. And if you understand the legalities and even jurisprudence, law, there is a format you can go about when claiming self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
You can put yourself, or you could be put in a dangerous situation, but if you seriously feel your life is endangered and you can articulate it and give reasons why, and even, I will go over a little bit of details later, and you can give reasons why, you have a
mm-hmm.
case.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the format which I could see from what is being told on what happened when, you know, Zimmerman called in and then he followed him and then they went this way and then after they had a little argument and then there was a tussle. The whole structure of that whole thing, it clearly shows that the point why it looked so weird because Zimmerman was making sure that he covered his tail legally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he was making sure that he fit all the qualifications to be the one who, yes, pulled the gun, but is in self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not that anyone can go around and just keep doing that. But the problem is that Trayvon Martin's dead. He can't defend himself. He didn't know how to.
Exactly.
If he took 1 month of jiu-jitsu, it would be a totally different story.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different story, just meaning that now he could be alive to even defend himself. And what he would be doing was understanding the art of self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a clip on YouTube where, like, this elder European man went on the bus. And he went on a bus and he saw this brother, melanated brother with, you know, plaid shirt and everything, gangster down. They got into an argument. When the brother was getting all gangster on him, yo, what's this punk, all kind of stuff. The European white man was like, yo, leave me alone. He got up, he walked to the front of the bus. The gangster guy kept coming at him. The European man stood up and whooped his butt. It's on YouTube. And then all he did was yell, I did it in self-defense. He hit me first. I did it in self-defense. Self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
From that, he's cool.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is that in every type of society, there is no written law on self-defense. It is something that comes from the divine. It's something that comes from nature. And it's respected in every jurisdiction, whether corporate or natural, organic, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only accepted based on somebody's claim. For example, fraud. Fraud is not fraud until challenged. So it's the same concept. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You could defend yourself, or, like, for example, the sister in another case, who, what I hear about, she busts the bus gun in the air to scare off an intruder.
Mm-hmm.
Her problem is being able to articulate the use of force continuum, or in other words, rules of engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like it's something small, but it's not. It's the same thing that comes to status. A lot of people, like, they want to complain and talk about, oh, well, they're doing this to me. And it's clear that you're in a slave status, so, I mean, you have to expect slavery. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say expect. You have to understand that that's why they're going to come at you like a slave master.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So my take on this case is it's nothing to get caught up on. It is but an example out of thousands that happen every day, none bigger nor less than the other ones. We can use it as a model to bring up topics. You know what I mean? Like these ones.
Exactly.
So I'm not against people talking and all that kind of stuff, but if you're going to talk about it, let's come up with a solution about it.
Mm-hmm.
How can we learn from it?
Be productive.
Right? So instead of, we can, you know, of course people are going to say stuff, and I mean, emotions will fly, but it's to have control of those emotions at the end of the day, and to recognize that there's stuff going out there that we don't know and we're really ignorant about, and ignorance is an intentional, conscious choice, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying is we just got to get into this whole self-defense mind state in general. Not just fighting and, competition. No, but in general. So when you look at stuff like this case, you'll see it in a whole different light, and you'll be like, yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Definitely.
Like, for example, if you've seen everything he did by calling in and saying that this guy, Trayvon, is a threat, that's part of his self-defense claim.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll explain it to you all, and I'll read it out a little bit later, but if you don't articulate this, this is where you waive your right. For example, you take everyone out there that's taking security jobs, and they give you training through security jobs, right? Mind you, the police department is a security company only. So it's the same concept. And what they do is they teach you this basic, it's called the use of force continuum. You can Google it. There's different versions, different kinds. It doesn't even matter what kind. It's the guide to help you in dealing with confrontations. Right? And if you could follow this guide somewhat, you're backed by nature in the sense of you were in total consciousness the whole time. You responsibly diffused the situation. You used the right use of force. That's what the whole police department, so-called police department, is using. That's the law or the legalities that they're using to make arrests. It's the same use of continuum that security guards use, same use of force continuum that JPs use, the same one that you use to make a citizen's arrest.
Mm-hmm.
So just for a little side note there, police department, security, citizen's arrest, it's all the same concept.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is you got to get people, if you want to infringe on this natural law, you just got to get people to be ignorant of what is.
Okay.
So what's happening is, I don't know, if we want, we can actually go into the use of force continuum here, or for the archives.
Actually, we got a caller on the line.
All right, let's do it.
So, yeah, caller from the 857 area code. You are live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any comments or questions pertaining to the subject?
Peace, peace, world justice. Yeah, definitely,
peace.
Definitely. The first thing you got to learn about self-defense is that, like, you know, say, a lot of times what you say verbally, can, your body language can avert a lot of stuff that's going on. If you sit there and you show someone your hand, and you sit there and you tell them, hey, back away from me. That's the first thing. You know what I'm saying?
Well said.
There's like, I mean, because I've been doing this since about 6 years old. So, I mean, you as wild as you can, if the person's attacking you, you can sit there and say, stop attacking me while you're hitting me, motherfucker. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that you got to learn. We're saying that someone's looking on, and you done sat there and you done knocked somebody's lights out, but you said, please don't touch me. You know what I'm saying? First.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. When people sit there and they say something about it, they're going to be like, well, the guy who hit him said, please don't touch me. And then, you know what I'm saying, that's what they'll say, what was going on. So you have to have somebody never turn your back on somebody. That's where dude messed up. Turn his back because that allows close distance, because a lot of times you give somebody eye contact. It's a rule of nature. You know what I'm saying? The weak avert their eyes. So we convert their eyes, someone directly in their eyes, and you let them know, like, listen, I'm looking directly at you. Any predator is going to wait for you to turn your back or to avert your eyes. I mean, as far as this whole situation going, yes, this dude is what do you call it? He's the son of a judge. The dude was sitting there, like I said there and said this before, so he beat some daggone rape charges from, like, his niece or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas because of his connections, he was able to do this. He learned the system, and he learned how to defraud the system because, of course, he sat there and made sure he acted like a predator. He followed somebody that was buying himself.
That's it.
He followed someone that had nothing in their hands. He made sure he had nothing in his hands. He knew what he was going to do right from the beginning. He called the police. He called the police 47 times. 47 times. Every time talking about a black male. He's afraid of black men. That's what he's sitting there saying. Well, you know what I'm saying? These black men are suspicious. He's black, and he even said it was a teenager. So basically sat there and said, yo, listen, I'm afraid. Like, that's what that law says. You have to be afraid. So he should and showed himself to be afraid of him first. Like, oh,
thank you, brother. Teach. That's the point. Yes.
That's what these pages use a lot of times when they shoot one of us down, is that we were afraid.
Yep. Definitely.
They always play the victim. Whenever someone does something, they always play the victim. One of the main things you have to realize, because if you sit there and you show your hands and you're like, well, listen, I'm not making any threatening moves towards you. I'm walking away from you. If they choose to come your direction, you have every right to defend yourself.
And the situation speaks for itself, the way it pans out. Sorry, I have to throw that in. You're so right, brother. Teach, man. You're so right. It would not, Trayvon would not have ended up in between two houses if he had this self-confidence.
Now, if he has made himself clear, there's a man following me. I don't know what he's doing. He just got out of his car. I don't know what this man is doing. he's coming towards me, and I don't know. I think my wife is in danger. If he would have said that right there, if he would have been loud enough, people would have been able to say that. They would have said, "Well, listen, when they called 911, because you heard the shot on the
on the phone,
the shot, and you heard him yelling, 'Help, help!'" You know what I'm saying? You heard him yelling, "Help, help!" But they didn't care. But that's the thing, though. Had he made himself a little bit more clear, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing that people get messed up. Yo, you are not a coward if you run.
Mm-hmm.
You are not a coward. No. You're surviving. That's the first thing you learn in martial arts.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Retreat. Art of retreat. Mm-hmm. Get it right.
Right? You fight and run away, live to fight another day. Bro, please spread that. Teach that. Like, in my opinion, I guess what we do, it's our responsibility to bring that to the forefront, to get people to understand how serious and how much they need to put this on their plate of food every night.
Exactly. And meditation is not a game. It's not a game at all. Like saying prayer is asking. I'm saying asking, and meditation is listening.
Yep.
Because that's though, and it's like, yo, you could probably perceive that threat if you sit there and you hone your senses. You hone more than just your five senses. You hone your other senses. And you're going to be able to sit there and know, okay, here's this person trying to pull this. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to allow that because I see what they're doing before they make a move.
Ah, Shay. Brother, can I add something to that and then stay on the line and then add to it afterwards, qualify it or let me know what you think about this. I stumbled across, self-defense across the board, whether it's physical, spiritual, verbal, it's the same concepts apply. So I've read up some stuff. They have some stuff out there about verbal self-defense. And I found it so intriguing when on this one side they just brought up something real simple that on the four basic principles of verbal self-defense. Tell me if this qualifies what you just said, brother. Say there's four basic principles of verbal self-defense. And what we mean verbal self-defense, there's a difference between someone saying, "Why are you wearing a purple shirt? Why are you wearing a purple shirt?" If you don't know that there's a difference, one is an attack on your spirit, mind, and soul. The other one is a genuine question.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know the difference between two of that.
Intention.
That's why we don't understand what's happening with the Zimmerman-Trayvon case.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One's an attack. So, for example, it pointed out the four basic principles of verbal self-defense. Number one, know that you're under attack.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't even know. That's how they lose. We didn't even know the people didn't even know that Zimmerman's been trying to do this for a long time. He's been waiting to prove his theory or the theory of these people are ignorant.
Yeah, and he's been watching he's been watching a lot. He probably was trying to do something to him because he was watching a lot of gay black porn, all right?
I didn't even know that. You see that?
Watching a lot of gay black porn, whereas he might have been plotting on probably raping his brother. You know what I'm saying?
You see.
Not using his gun. And actually be that thing where he was going to be too afraid to fight back.
Right.
And it probably didn't work out that way.
Right.
I'm convinced that the neighbors definitely saw more than what they're confirming. Because they were calling 911, and like I said, you hear that "help me," you know what I'm saying, on the tape before the shot is fired. So it's like obviously you saw something.
Right.
I mean, why would you call 911? I mean, they weren't calling it. They weren't calling 911 on Trayvon. They were calling on him. They're like, "Oh, I don't know what's going on. He's following him."
Right. Mm-hmm. He's messing with this kid, right? Right.
Yeah.
Right, bro. I agree. Know you're under attack. Number one. Number two was know what kind of attack you're facing. Number three, know how to make a defense to fix the attack. Number four, know how to follow through with the attack. So, I mean, we got responsibility here. Like, just walking through life and buying Timberlands and, you know, going potty and stuff, and they're acting like we're highly conscious is not enough. We got to really, really take this, like as a martial artist or a dancer or anyone that does any kind of art form, you know that it takes daily dedication.
Practice. Yep.
Daily. Constant. You know, the escapisms. I mean, we all have our little escapisms, but we got to battle those things because those are the things that are keeping us away from dealing with ourselves and dealing with situations. Like, this hurts people's head to talk about because it's, like, getting too deep. Oh, well, oh, no, man. And that's part of the problem.
Yeah, that's the ego wanting to keep them in a victim mind state, and that's the issue. We can't continue to play victim to anything anymore because it's just not spiritually responsible at this point. So if people are speaking about their amounts of consciousness and their level of consciousness, then they need to be able to show that in their daily actions. And a lot of people let their emotions get to them with this case, and I'm not saying that's wrong or I don't understand where they're coming from, because it's not about judgment. But at the same time, there has to be a solution-based thinking process that's put into play here. How many times are we going to keep going down the same road where our brothers are victimized by the cops, by these other people, by whoever it may be? And still come to, okay, we march for a little bit, we get a little rowdy, we boycott some shit for like 3 seconds, and then we go back to life as usual and keep going and continuing on our programming until something again happens. So, you know.
A lot of the responsibility. Sorry, go on, brother.
Hey, I asked to say this, like, I mean, I've been from the Bean, and I used to go to the hardcore scene where there's a bunch of, like, you know what I'm saying, a lot of these dudes who call themselves neo-Nazis and shit like that. Number one, the dark person there. And it's like, oh, I shit you not. Sometimes you have to be proactive. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If I could be surrounded by 10 dudes, but if I crack the skull of one of the biggest dudes there that they're all afraid of, they're going to back up and be like, hold up a second. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I want to get involved in that because old boy over there is bleeding right now. And I don't think I want that to happen to me. You know?
Bro, you say so right, bro. There's so much going on, like with the example that you're speaking of. There's so much going on the physio-spiritual level. It's nuts. And and the thing about it is it can be articulated. Just say use the chakras, for example. Our body movements are all relative to particular chakra points. Emotional responses are related to particular chakra points. Situations where certain parts of our body shut down and the other one ignites so we can utilize, let's say when we're afraid, our forward and back motion. So when we're afraid, our backpedaling motion becomes like, all of a sudden there's like a gate opens up and we can backpedal so fast. When you're in the emotional state of being totally confident, assured, you can plant your feet on the ground and you know this through martial art training, bro. You can't move the person from that spot no matter how much you push.
This is another thing that happens too. It's the speed of time. If you sit there and you've been dealing with stuff for a little while, the time kind of like moves slower because like you can see someone's move before they even make it. It's like, explain. It's like, okay, I see them about to lift their left foot. They must be trying to, you know what I'm saying? They probably about to swing that left hand at me. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I see moving their hip. You know what I'm saying? I know which hand they're going to use. The same thing that you learn in basketball. Watch the hips. You know what I'm saying?
Big.
And never underestimate the good old freaking smile in the wrong place, because somebody might sit there and you sit there, they think they got you surrounded, and you smile. They're going to be like, well, hold up a second. That's not the right response. Why is he smiling? You know?
Right.
Oh, okay. He might have something for me. You know?
Well said.
Wouldn't be
well
smiling.
Said, brother. Well said. Situational awareness, confrontational awareness, or confrontational skills. And just to take it even a little deeper, even what you're saying, You're absolutely right. So in that scenario, you would be able to see the person's, you know, arm lift, leg lift. You see the hip turn. Watch where the elbow goes. You know, certain things you learn about, you know, you even close your eyes and you can feel body positioning, weight distribution, stuff like that. But that's, again, the last level. What happened was all this fight started in the spiritual already. And we're just playing out this divine drama. So what happened was they were able to infiltrate your force field, your aura. I mean, literally. So the same chakra system, let's say use the basic seven, that go up your spine or go up your yourself, likewise, there's like it extends outwardly from your body, like circles your whole body. So the root chakra is the closest to you, that it's probably your physical or extends just beyond your body. Your second chakra, your navel, extends from that to another feet or two, or depending on your energy levels. And then the third chakra extends a little further, fourth, and it goes. So if you check out way in a distance, someone has to, in order to get to you physically, they have to spiritually get through your crown and pineal gland level of aura, which is the psychic self-defense, which is the psychic part, which we ignore, which we're neglecting, and all that kind of stuff, which is how they're able to get to this physical. I'm telling you, if you want to take advantage, like these police officers, you could be traveling and you could be walking, and you see them pull up behind a car with some of our young brothers. Some of our young brothers just get so intimidated, they're like fidgeting and they're, you know, turning the music down, trying to put the spliff in their car, all kind of stuff. They got you already. They're able to read that from so far because their presence in itself, you let your guard down, but oh my God, the police. I don't even see them.
The thing is, like, they get very surprised when you turn it on them. Okay?
They don't, because what happens is you've defended yourself. They can't even get to you. And what I mean, this is real, brother, you know it, and I think it's our duty to really showcase this and help people get involved in self-defense practitioner arts or skills, because it's something that you experience. So when you talk about it, you're
it
not just saying
is,
but
we do not have a lot of time. Sorry, y'all. So I love to continue this conversation, but we do got to move forward for the sake of the show. So thank you for calling, and Will, you had a great and awesome input into the show, and we really appreciate your call. So please do call in and be more participative in the shows in the future.
What was that brother's name?
We'll link, you know what I'm saying? I'll speak to the sister and get off it, and we can link up.
You already know.
Hey. Thank you for calling in.
Good work, King.
We do have a couple more callers on the line, but before I get into that, I would like to tell everybody that you can call in, and if you're wondering what the call-in number is 917-932-8881. We're here discussing responsibility through self-defense, featuring Adisa L., and we're definitely going in on this topic, as you can see. All right, we do have a caller from the 678 area code. Caller from the 678 area code, you are live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any comments or questions?
Yes, I do. First of all, this is Yeshua Tuhuti Ali Bey. And I was actually calling because, I've been in the martial arts for 30 years. And in the martial arts, another guy was talking, you know, he was breaking down certain defense mechanisms and so forth like that, right? But in the martial arts itself, the first key discipline that they teach, that I was taught, because I had several teachers, that you have to exercise your mind. The spiritual, it's a spiritual thing, just like Kung Fu, African and Chinese. But Kung Fu is a spiritual quest. But like when you do the moves and the forms and everything, not only does it defend you, but it also opens up the chakras and the meridian lines in the body and causes you to expand upward.
I say.
and you'll be aware of your surroundings. That's the whole idea of being aware. Because see, that young brother, you know, may the Most High, you know, guide and direct his soul. It's that, you know, this brother was unaware of anything. He was never really into anything that was dealing with awareness, according to what I've read and researched.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so the thing is that to prepare yourself, it has to be a spirit, because any type of fighting, I went to competitions all over. And the thing is that what I've learned from it is that each movement that you make, remember, a person cannot hit a moving target.
Mm.
Never stay still, even when you're fighting. You notice how Bruce Lee, how he started fighting. He was jumping, you know, kind of hopping and so forth, you know, moving, but you know, back and forth. The idea is constantly be in motion, because a moving target can, it's very difficult for you to hit. Unless you are up on the person at a certain level where the person really don't have no other defense other than either dive down or try to, you know, attack him before he get attacked. You know what I'm saying?
That's right, brother.
So, you know, see, I'm from Chicago, from Southside.
I heard about down there.
You know, and you know how Chicago is. You know the war amongst each other. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the gang activities, vice lords against the GDs, the BDs, the Stones, the Cobra Stones. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
See, the battle is not only against the true opposition of us, you know, which is the, you know, the Cobra.
Yeah.
Okay, but amongst each other as well. But what we have to do as elders, we have to educate our youth. Male and female, show them tactics of defense. It's easy to disarm a person if you at a certain, you know, if you close enough to that person. Pardon me?
No, I said you're right. I'm qualifying to say easy. Yes, you're right.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want to hold up a lot of time right here, but I just wanted to share that, because that was something that, you know, it's very touching and it's very, you know, emotional. And just like the sister, you know, Queen was saying, we got to control our emotions. In martial arts, a true martial artist never show anger.
Mm-hmm.
They execute what they do, but they never show emotion. See what I'm saying? Because they are in control of it. Remember the chakras. You have 137 minor chakras and 7 major chakras. And each one has to be aligned. When you're doing Tai Chi, you know, with those movements does, it opens up meridian channels, it opens up those chakra points. When you breathe in the, you know, the prana or the chi energy, grounding yourself to earth and heaven, balancing yourself. See, the true way is the way of the ancients. We taught our children from youth on up, discipline, meditation, focus. You know, look at David against Goliath.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? He had a stone in a sling. He slung that bad boy at a certain angle, so you know he had to be skilled with it.
Right.
And killed him.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And
reminds
see, this
you of
is
that
how,
concept. Mm.
Yeah. And this is how, you know, I truly believe that If for those that knows defense, you know, whatever it may be, teach your children. Teach even the elderly, because it's hard times now. People going against each other every day. Chicago, on July 4th, there were 72 shootings.
Mm-hmm.
And there was 12 murders just on that one day. So there's a lot of things going on. If you look at one more thing before I just want to share. One more thing is that if you have access to the range, if your son or daughter is old enough, teach her how to shoot. Teach him how to shoot. Show them. You see what I'm saying? Because that's what those Abiyans or Pocahontas are doing. They doing just that. They be in the woods with AKs and SKs and stuff, and they teaching their children how to shoot targets. And guess what the target is? Us. So we got to get out of the confusion. It's an illusion. We got to get out of the myth of saying that they are with us. No. They never was, never will be. This is, if this not an awakening, nothing is. This should be an awakening for us. We should wake up and see that this system is not for us. We have to create something for ourselves, gardening, whatever, do for yourself. Man, Santo, with the, you know, with yourself, all of this, it's poisoning us. The chemtrails, all of it. They're doing this because they know who we are, but we don't know who we are.
Exactly, and there's always a self-defense mechanism that we can utilize to fight against all those attacks. So it's about being knowledgeable and living our lives out. All right, well, thank you for calling in. We really do appreciate your input. Thank you again.
Appreciate it, Simon. Keep teaching. Keep teaching.
Exactly. Peace.
And I appreciate you, too.
Appreciate you, brother.
All right, we do have a caller from the 508 area code. Caller from the 508 area code, you are live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any comments or questions?
Peace, Queen.
Peace.
Yes, female.
Finally.
Peace, sister. Finally a sister. That's what's up.
Yes, and this is the warrior queen right here, so she's about to let y'all know she wants to school y'all. I'm just hanging up. All
right, let's do it. Let's do it, mommy. Let's do it.
I'd like to introduce as an encouragement and a brother who called in asked for their culture about brothers who called in asked to stop feeling victimized, and him standing in my position as a sister to four brothers by blood and to every brother that I do come into contact with, and I'm giving you back your culture and your feeling of no longer feeling victimized. And my brother has a 3-second pin in wrestling, but, you know, he only did that in school. And, yes, he used to fight coming up as a child, but he never had to lay a hand on anyone. We have encouragement in our relationship. And it's words that say, walk with your face up, don't drop your face, square your shoulders back, and present yourself as the divine being, an energy that you hold. You are a protector, not a victim. So there, when you do find yourself in those very real situations where your spirit, your aura is being intruded upon, it is easily changeable. You just tell yourself that you're the strongest one there. Strong people will always attract the weak, always. And it's very difficult in that time if you haven't had that encouragement, that close encouragement in any relationship, to make your, to remind yourself, I am the strong one that attracts these weak spirits. And when, like it was said, you have to be spiritually well.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be spiritually. Yes, you have to be spiritually well to be in that situation and know that nothing can penetrate, should be able to penetrate you and make you feel like a victim, like you have to defend yourself or offend anyone else. And I'm telling you, the encouragement works. Being a sister, calling all my sisters that when they do have these relationships with their brothers, do not plant seeds that tell the protector that you also have to defend yourself. Protectors are strong people that they get to the top and then they turn around and they help weak people. It may be one helping many, and in that situation it's easy to feel like you're the victim, but you must be encouraged. We are still a strong people. In those real situations, brothers, I hear you. Teach our sons and daughters how to shoot and fight and watch your hip movements and weight placements. When you go out to learn those karate lessons and mixed martial arts, those are awakenings. Those are physical experiences, awakening your natural intent, your natural your just natural senses to protect others and protect yourself. You are not learning to fight and shoot to be a victim in a battle.
Well,
you
said,
are leaders
well
and warriors. So
thank you.
I hope that that left a good imprint. Go ahead, brother.
I wanted to make light of what you just said, in terms of, if they didn't or if anyone did not understand, I guess from it's probably what's properly said. The whole punching, the kicking, or in the brother's case, his opinion on the shooting and stuff like that. These are all, as you said, sister, the awakening period to get to what you brought to the table just now.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to shed light on the emphasis on that, and it's no coincidence that it's coming from a female. So knowing that, like, what's happening right now, there's a lot of ego in terms of, okay, I got the solution, and this is what we have to do. What I'm just bringing to the table is that this is a spark of awakening. The physical practices of stuff, or even the verbal practices of stuff, or all these stuff are just our awakening tools so that we can get to that state, or that godlike state, or that nirvana state, or that Buddha state, the Christ state, whatever you want to call it. But the God, goddess, divine state of what this sister was speaking on, so where we can actually feel this feeling and the energy that we project. You know, you're going to, like this is said, you will attract the student. But everything will be in proper context when you're confident. You won't be confused on why is so many, I know a lot of sisters, I hear them saying that a lot of times, especially the powerful ones. Why are all these low-life dudes keep coming at me and stuff? And I think it's supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just what I think I got what you were saying, sister. Let me know if I was a little off or anything. But it's that to just to be able to recognize your position and being aware of the situation, like even amongst ourselves as people. So if people are going to be coming to you, recognize your position that, hey, you have something to share. And
exactly.
I think this, I really get what you're saying. I liked it. I really did that.
I say. That was all I had to say, and I'm so happy to be well understood. Thank you for your viewpoint.
Thank you, sister, and I hope I'm going to be sharing this clip with everybody I know. So it was really, really, really necessary. And just keep that up. I'm gonna be listening out for you and looking out for you, because I need to add that to what we got going on.
This is Jerrica, and she's going to be our Conversations with the Queen relaunch. When we relaunch our blog, she's going to be actually the editor of our blog. So, it's a very powerful sister. She's going to have a lot of input. She's going to have a lot of articles that's going to teach you. If you want to get your mind right and get your wellness right and get your psychology together, this sister's the one to listen to. So she's definitely going to be a part of the Conversation with the Queen team. So, keep an eye out.
Queen, you're on fire. Y'all are on fire. I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
All right.
Thank you for your time, sister. Thank
you. Yeah, thank you for calling in, Jerrica. All right.
Yeah, peace.
All right, we do have 21 minutes left on a live stream. I would like to pause and take a quick commercial break because I do got to pay the bills, y'all. So, so I definitely am going to take this quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back after these messages.
Are you looking for a place to sell your products online? Not interested in hiring expensive web developers? Do you love to buy cultural and ethnic products directly from manufacturers? Well, look no further. NewShop.com is the number one online marketplace to buy and sell multicultural and ethnic products. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Get your free e-store, post your products to sell, and make money. Sell books, clothing and apparel, jewelry, bath products, beauty products, health products, accessories, holistic products, even ebooks and downloadable music files. The list goes on. No sign-up fees, no contracts, no annoying product listing fees or confusing HTML. HTML coding. It's quick, easy, customizable. Go to NewShop.com for your 9-day free trial today. NewShop.com, the number one online marketplace for multicultural and ethnic products. That's www.nuwshop. All payments are
Ladies, it's Israel the Poet. Do you love stylish jewelry but are also health and spiritually conscious? Many stylish pieces contain metals and plastics which can irritate the skin and do absolutely nothing for the spirit. So why not be in style while aiding your spirit? Gemini Creations presents Angel Wings, our newest earring line that infuses radiant feather earrings with angelic spiritual gemstones. So look great while aiding your spirit. To check them out, visit GeminiCreations.com. That's GeminiCreations.com. Like us on Facebook. That's Facebook.com/GeminiCreations. Or you can contact Tay Queen through TayQueen@Hotmail.com. That's TayQueen@Hotmail.com. Peace and blessings always.
The Dick Gregory and Queen Afua Cruise. As a conscious alternative to the traditional Thanksgiving holiday, you are cordially invited to the 2013 Feast of Gratitude Cruise with Dick Gregory and Queen Afua. Call Alicia today at 888-636-5222. 888-636-5222. The Dick Gregory and Queen Afua Cruise. 888-636-5222.
All right, we are back on live, speaking on responsibility through self-defense with Adisa L. So we're definitely back on live. We got through all of our callers who had to call in with their questions, but if there is anybody else who has a call-in question, you can definitely call in by the number 917-932-8881. We have 17 minutes left on the live stream. So, Adisa, let's pick back up on what we were speaking about before we got to even getting into so much of the case itself. But let's bring it back to the aspect of solution. So let's talk a little bit about solution-based thinking.
Okay, solution-based thinking. I wanted to produce an example so that you can take the example and apply it to whatever. Just like in terms of solution-based thinking, like the example, let's say, let's use martial arts as the example, which is, this is how courage rites of passage functions. It uses the example on the physical level. So let's use a martial arts scenario. Let's say in martial arts, you're in a competition and, you know, you got your hands up and then somebody's just like out-timing you, outsmarting you. You don't understand what's going on. You're just getting tagged every time. You're frustrated. I think whatever activity you can do, and I really mean activity, even yoga is an activity. Whatever an activity where you could practice these mental, spiritual, physical, emotional, psychological concepts. I mean, really sit down with a pad and a paper and set goals. We have goal-setting sheets in our program, but whatever, to-do lists or just a blank piece of paper and just start to map out your destiny. You are the creator of it. Finding a way where you know that at the end of the day, or at least something through the day, you learned something about this topic of self-defense, right? Mm-hmm. Broadening your mind, opening your mind, and as the brother started to say, getting involved in Tai Chi or getting involved in something opened up his root chakra. I'm gonna open up your root chakra. Now, I'm going to be non-biased to martial arts and say not only martial arts does that. And everything, yoga, everything. The point is, solution thinking Mm-hmm. Start with step one. If we know in yoga we raise our kundalini from the base, from the root, we got to start there. Doesn't mean only deal with there, but I mean we can't neglect there. I remember I was talking about this a lot on the last show. But our root chakra is actually dealing with the fear opposed mm-hmm. to the confidence, the lack of health or the basis of your health coming mm-hmm. from your root chakra. The emotional response to it is feeling firmly in place. You cannot be moved. When you're feeling unconfident, like the sister was saying, or the opposite of what the sister was saying when you're in the God state, when you're feeling unconfident, you're unrooted, you're literally unrooted, your root chakra stops spinning in the proper direction, in the proper speed, with the proper timing or whatever, in order for you to be functioning healthy, and then there's a blockage right there. This is what they have us all, they sell sex through the TV, they sell fear, religion is fear.
Yeah.
This is all step one stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. Even, no lie, the mores and all the status and all the stuff, that's step one stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, I'm going to have to plug this side in. There's more to the story, but it is an important step one.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So mm-hmm. and then all the indigenous stuff and all the sovereignty stuff, that's all relative to step one. Yes, okay, it is, but we got to start cultivating, like the brother said. We got to
mm-hmm.
start doing these things. So to start thinking to heal the root chakra, you know, I mean, you're going to go up, you're going to go rise them every day. But I mean, mm-hmm. say you wake up today and let's start with the root chakra. I need to get back a sense of confidence. You can
mm-hmm.
do physical movements or literally lunges. Getting your thighs and your seat strong actually
mm-hmm.
help your spiritual sense of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So also, too, you'll start noticing you're doodling properly. Right? If you're clogged up, all these things are relative
mm-hmm.
to your
mm-hmm.
root chakra. And you do more research on your own because it's really your journey. I can't. I'm
mm-hmm.
not going to sit up here and break it all down. I've learned not to do that anymore. But, like... Well, I'm learning not to do that anymore. But, honestly, really deal with those issues, fear. And,
mm-hmm.
and one major aspect of it is my thing when I bring to the table, of course, others too,
mm-hmm.
fear is not the problem. Fear is supposed to be there. It
mm-hmm.
is a stool that you step on to raise above. And then
mm-hmm.
you keep going to your crown. So my thing is, we were taught that we're not supposed to be afraid. Males and even females nowadays are taught, don't be afraid. What are you afraid of? I think our intention is right when we're trying to say what we mean. I think what we're saying is not accurate. And then the little children, when they hear that, they're totally confused. Because if you tell the children, don't be afraid, they're like, what?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? Fear is necessary, but it's being afraid of fear that's the problem. That's the disease. The
mm.
root chakra is designed for you to face your fear.
Mm-hmm.
Face it. You cannot grow, you cannot raise your kundalini until you face your fear. Watch the Avatar cartoon. That yogi
yep.
breaks it down simply.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the cartoon, the Avatar, The Last Airbender. But
yep.
I'm speaking on, it doesn't even matter. Like, I don't have a solution. I don't have a format for everybody, but I have a contextual solution,
mm-hmm.
meaning that start step one. Start from the basics. When you join any group, any schooling of it, you're learning any skill, mental, physical, anything, where do you got to start? Step one, you got to start at the basics.
Mm-hmm.
if you don't, you'll be on a shaky foundation. And I think us as a people, I mean, we're the creators. We're the original people. I get it. But our problem
mm-hmm.
is just us functioning. That's it. And if
mm-hmm.
Europeans are so-called, even from that perspective, they're the, you know, recessive gene,
mm-hmm.
their problem is just functioning. So they're functioning better than us.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is when you get this self sense of confidence, this root chakra starts getting healthy again, You stop worrying about these physical things as much, and you can move on. I don't care what you call yourself, bro. I know what I am. I know how to function as the entity I am. It's things like that. And then you'll be totally content with if someone wants to believe in Nazi Jesus or some version of Satan. Who knows? Let them. This is where you develop this, as the brother was talking. You start developing this sense of confidence, or you develop the ability and how to be in the alpha state. You can't run from emotions. Everything is an emotion. I'm not going against what the brother was saying. It's just I'm just saying it a little bit different. But you can't run from emotions, but it's understanding and how to
You have to properly channel your emotions.
Channel them the right directions, right, so that you're in control of them, not somebody else.
Exactly.
Being mad, mad is there for a reason, but when? You know what I mean? When is the right? When is the wrong? You know what I mean? When is the... So, but at the end of the day, it's that the concept of no mind or that concept of the alpha state, which cats live in a lot of times. So my advice of the many things that everybody, that we need to be doing and stuff like that, I say just start the basics at step one, and that's really not avoid it, because the problem with the root chakra is that you can't avoid it. It's about facing your fears. And that's what that new movie that we're talking about with Will Smith and his son, that's what it's about. And I mean, I thought it was so, and I mean, it's so fitting for the time. Of course. And it was a story about a relationship between how a son is now has to have a relationship with his father, even though he didn't grow up with his father. And giving the son the time and the respect to say his things that you remember there and all that kind of stuff, and say, okay, yeah, but let's face all these issues. Let's face them so we can heal them. That's self-defense.
Exactly.
Yeah. Other than that, I mean, I'm developing, I'm learning, and I'm sure it will blossom into other ideas and opinions and solutions and stuff like that. But so far, yeah, I guess that's, you know, generally it.
Definitely. I mean, we could go on for probably, like, 4 more hours on this topic. But, you know, we do have a limited amount of
time. Or do you mean
time.
You?
Huh?
Or do you mean I could go? No, I'm joking.
Well, you know, maybe you could go the first 2 hours. Go off,
Nah. I admit, though, I want to say something before you go on. I really appreciate this opportunity. As much as you may not know this, but there's a lot of ego out there, and we don't get this venue to speak on this, because it's threatening to other brothers and sisters out there who have solutions themselves. Because we deal with, we master confrontational experience. We master this root chakra, face it so we can grow. So, I mean, it does come off very firm. It does come off, but I'm not saying that I know it all. This is my opinion and what I see right now, but I do stand behind it and willing to take criticism or even correction with it. And because of this, a lot of us are not training this. So, you know, like when you go into a martial arts school, so everyone's fighting with something, or a new dance school, or I don't want people to see me not good at it. I don't want to fall. All these stuff hold you back from developing. So what's happening in the community is like, I don't know, and I know other martial artists out there too, we're trying to link with everybody. We are really trying to be a piece of what y'all are doing out there, because we understand that is we're just a piece. Every style is just a piece of the fullness. So please understand, and please reach out to your martial artists in your community.
Speaking of reaching out, give everybody the information for you and your business, the contacts you have, any events or projects you guys have coming up.
All right. My name is Adisa L, also known as True Purpose. My website for Courage Warriors Rites of Passage, and MMA school is iamcourage.webs.com for now. So again, iamcourage.webs.com. Also find me on Facebook, Adisa L. We also have a Facebook fan page, Courage, Rites of Passage and MMA School. And my email is iamcouragewrp@gmail.com. The Twitter is iamcourage2. Can't believe I'm on Twitter now. And it's cool. I'm moving with the times. You know what I mean? Got a lot of little young students. Some students stepped up, and they've like said, Adisa, okay, you're good at this, Adisa, but you're not good at that. We'll take that over. I will teach you how to do that. And that's what's happening. So I just want to big them up. Steady Kuti, Charisma Brave, big up. Paula Michelle DeLeon, or DeLion. I want to bring up KC Batfield. Oh, sorry, Bradfield, but she'll get the joke when she hears it, right? Mm-hmm. But these are like real, real Exodus movements, too. They really stepped up. So listen back to the tape. You'll hear their names and look them up, too, as well. And in terms of phone number, why not? 647-764-2810. Hit me up. I admit I train a lot, and I'm not really like the phone kind of dude. But if you text me, you will get a reply. That's the best way to get a hold of me. Text me, just say, give me a call, tell me why you're texting or whatever, or leave a message online. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I rather the person-to-person kind of, you know, meetings and stuff, but I'm getting into this technology and, you know, being more available for calls, so just be patient with me and while I balance out my schedule and stuff like that. But, 647-764-2010. Adisa, thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you for spending this time with us and sharing on this topic that was so imperative and so articulately spoken by you as well as our guests who call in. So thank you to everybody who participated in the call-in, and thank you specifically to you for coming on and bringing up this topic from such a great perspective.
Thank you for allowing this, you know, allowing me to voice my opinion, and hopefully it can, you know, help a little bit.
Yes,
Do you play music on your show?
Of course. Yeah.
You got any requests? Can I get some kind of request?
Request? I actually have a song that's lined up for the end. But,
all right, cool.
Maybe I
make a request for any future shows?
Maybe next time when you come on, I got you on the request tip, all right?
Chronic, 2013.
Right.
Revival.
Well,
reggae
you.
Revival.
Thank you for being on. Peace.
Hey, Queen. Peace and love to everyone. Peace and love, sis. Thank you.
Peace. You've been listening to Conversations with the Queen. We do air every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Please join us next week. We will have a great show with PhD Kathy Schaefer, and she will be talking to us about some of these topics. All right, well, I got to close it down and wind it down for the night. I do have a great, great song by Jespex and featuring Janelle Monae called Freedom. All right, peace, y'all.
days of